Well, well, well. It's January 2021. We made it through that hell of a year 2020. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy, and allegedly true, January horror stories. Now, these are stories that were sent in this month, but don't really fit in other videos, so I figured I'd compile them into this video. Now, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true horror stories from January. Hi. My name is Brooke. I've been listening to your videos for a while, but this is my first time submitting a story. I need help figuring out what this creature was, even though my friend thinks it was a skinwalker. My friend Dawson and I were walking around the woods late at night. We were bored and didn't have anything else to do. This was normal for us since we live in Kentucky, and there is really not much to do out here. He was in the middle of explaining what a skinwalker was when we heard leaves being crunched and rustling around. It was as if someone, or something, was walking just a few yards away from us. Neither one of us thought anything about it, and continued walking. We continued to hear the footsteps as we walked. At first, it sounded like it only had 2 feet, so we thought it was just another person. But within an hour or so, it started sounding like it was walking on all fours. A few hours later, we were just walking into his backyard. He lives on a farm, and we heard something in the barn. There are not any animals in the barn, so we decided to go have a look. The second we got near the barn, we started smelling something absolutely horrible. We figured something had gotten into the barn and died since it was smelling like rotting flesh. We opened the doors, walked into the barn, and I reached over to turn on the lights. I felt a hand on my arm and heard Dawson's voice say, "Wait, don't turn them on." It weirded me out, but I stopped and waited for him to say something else. I could hear him breathing just a few inches away from my face, and I was starting to freak out. Within a few seconds, I heard his voice again from the barn entrance. "Why haven't you turned the lights on yet?" I gasped loudly and turned on the lights and looked around. Dawson was standing by the entrance with a confused look on his face. When I asked, he said he had not moved from the spot he had been in. He said he had not said anything other than why hadn't I turned on the lights yet. I hurried back over to him and took his hand for comfort since I had encountered with paranormal stuff before. My gosh, this stuff really freaked me out. We walked further into the barn, and he mentioned checking the empty stalls that were in the barn. I reluctantly agreed. We started checking the stalls but did not see anything out of the ordinary, but the closer we got to the very last stall, we started hearing a raspy breathing sound. When we got to the very last stall, there was a deer in it. It immediately freaked us out because the deer was, honestly, inhuman looking, if that makes any sense for an animal anyway. It had bright yellow eyes, and it was breathing loud and raspy. It looked right at us, and as soon as it did, I heard Dawson's voice again, repeating the same thing I heard earlier. "Wait, don't turn the lights on." Dawson heard it this time. Even though it was not very dark in the barn, the area around the deer was incredibly dark, almost like a cloud of smoke. It scared us, and we immediately turned and ran full speed out of the barn. Out of shock, the deer was twice the size. It was a few seconds ago. And it was now chasing us. It was on its hind legs, and the most terrifying part of it was that it was screeching. We could hear it getting closer and closer no matter how fast we ran. It started growling savagely as it chased us. It was letting out deep, guttural growls that sounded almost demonic. Once we made it to the house, we immediately locked all the doors and windows. Then we went down into the basement and stayed there for the rest of the night. He moved out of that house a few weeks later, and neither of us have been back ever since. Anyways, that is our story. I hope you all enjoyed it. please let me know what you think this creature was. We would both really like to know. My story, I guess you could say, is not a traditional horror story, but it is something horrific that happened to me nonetheless, and I know I am not the only one to have gone through this. Mental illness is a cruel mistress sometimes, and due to its nature, in some diseases, some people just do not have the capacity to fight and battle their symptoms without help, in the form of medicine. My mother would be one of those people. My mother was loving, funny, and there for me when I needed her most. However, my mother suffered from schizophrenia. This disease would be her undoing. My mother left my family, abandoned really, but I forgave her many years later, met some guy online, and then moved out to Hawaii to be with him. That's where her schizophrenia came to light. I am included in this part because it terrified me at the time, and it is relevant. I remember being 14 or 15 years old. I was having issues living with my dad at the time, so I moved out to Hawaii from big old Texas to live with my mom and stepdad. We were driving, my mom and I, before the medical board took her license away, and all of a sudden she looks at me so angrily and states, "What are you saying? They told me you're talking about me. They said you're talking trash." Now, there has not been a word spoken, and at the time, I was not thinking she was anything more than just being annoying in the moment. I replied, "What are you talking about? I haven't said anything." She answers, "They told me you were talking bad about me." I asked her whom she was talking about. She just simply says, "Them. They do." Being 14 or 15 years old, I knew something was very wrong. I grew scared and concerned, but over the years the schizophrenia came to light and we all came accustomed to things like this happening. Fast forward to about 10 years later. At this point, I was 24, going through some cruddy things, like fighting my ex-husband for custody of our kids and so on. My mother and I had grown awfully close. She had moved back to Texas briefly in 2011 for a few months to help take care of my grandma, her mom, who had Alzheimer's bad, so I got to see her more than I have in years. She even finally got to meet her granddaughters, my beautiful three girls. Due to her illness, she was on government-provided insurance, and when moved, she had to switch it to Texas. When she had to move back to Hawaii, the state of Hawaii would not allow her to switch the insurance for another 6 months, cutting her off her supply of much-needed medications. Now, to the horrific parts. 3 months after she moved back, my family and I noticed the number of calls, and trying to get in touch with her dwindled drastically. After almost a month of not hearing from her, I tried calling and texting several times to no avail. 3 days after telling her I missed her, she finally responded to me, but it was not a response anyone would want to receive. She says that she has done something so wrong, so bad, that once my stepdad Harold finds out, he is going to kill her. My stepdad loved my mother, never seen a love like it. I stated that fact. That he loves her and there's absolutely nothing she could do to cause anything angry from him. We went back and forth messaging each other, her trying to tell me she had done something, but would never tell me exactly what it was, and me telling her he would never do that and asking repeatedly what had happened. She just kept saying it. So finally, kind of as a joke, I tell her, "If he kills you, then I will have to kill him." To which she replies, "No, you can't." And then almost immediately I receive another one. "You know I'm going to do it myself, and he doesn't have to." My blood ran cold. I was supposed to be going out with friends this night, as it was St. Patrick's Day. We lived in a college town in Texas. We usually partied hard. I immediately canceled my plans and tried to call my mom. She answered. She said she cannot talk, and hung up. So I started messaging her again. She was saying that she was going to kill herself, and that she could not live with herself. She could not make her husband go through killing her. And all the while, I'm trying to find out what has happened and telling her that everything will be fine. I ended up falling asleep as they were 4 hours behind us, and I just passed out eventually. I woke up the next morning with a jolt, fearing that in my accidental falling asleep, something had happened to my mother. I grabbed my phone and messaged her again and asked if she was still here. She responded yes. I tried calling again, and to my amazement, she answered. I started firing off questions trying to make sure things were okay, but she just replies with, "I love you," by the deafening blast of a 30-30 rifle through the phone. I drop the phone, pick it up, yell, but nothing. I hang up and call back a minute later, and my stepdad answers the phone. He is hysterically crying and screams, "Who is this?" I answer him and tell him who I am and scream that if he did this, I would find him. He brokenly tells me to just do it, please, because he has nothing to live for now because my mom was dead. As you can hear him drag her across the floor and sob to what I guess was her lifeless corpse. I hang up and call 911. They were at a loss as to what happened in Hawaii, and we did not know who to contact. Eventually, I got a hold of their local Hawaii police station and I told them what had happened. I then called my father and family and heartbreakingly told them the unfortunate news. A little while after this all transpired, my mom completed the act of suicide on the phone with me on March 18th, 2012. Without her meds, the voices she would hear in her head convinced her something had transpired, and the only way out was death. We, nor the police, ever found anything that made us believe she did something wrong. Schizophrenia is its own demon, and hopefully one day we can understand it better. I have PTSD from this event, and even to this day, I'm still affected by it. Mental illness is not a joke. I know this is not one of your scariest stories, but it was one of the most horrific things to ever happen to me. Thank you for reading this, and thank you for sharing my story. When I was younger, about 5 years old, my family moved houses. Being as I was so young, I was devastated. I have been living my whole life in this area. I had made memories there. That is where I helped my dad paint the walls. It is where I played four squares with the big kids. It's where I made a lot of cool friends. It's also where I had my best friend slash frenemy neighbor and buried her second favorite doll. With the move, my family was very busy packing and saying our goodbyes and the like. I don't remember who, since it was 20 years or so now, but someone was taking pictures of the house inside and out so that my grandpa could build us a miniature wooden model of our old house. At that point, my sister and I were talking to the people we sold our house to, a seemingly kind, nice family. A mother, a father, and if I recall right, two daughters. Basically, the same dynamic of my own family. I do not remember the conversation, but the basic gist of it was something like, "Enjoy my room and please take care of my house." Naturally, they promised to do so with smiles. Come a few years later, and a lot of things change. My parents began arguing more, and I started at a new school. I got transferred a lot as new schools were being built by my house. One day I came home from school to find that my parents had come across some jarring news about a murder that took place in our old neighborhood. A story about how a husband murdered his wife in their bedroom while the eldest kid was at school and the youngest was in the other room. Beneath the story was a photograph of my old house. The story itself was already chilling without my mom looking at my dad and murmuring, "That was in her bedroom. That could have been us." My dad assured her that that was nonsense and their bickering slowed for a while. I thought that was the end of it. It was creepy and, to a child like me, disrespectful. But even 7 years old, I understood that murder happened. This one just so happened to hit very close to home. Things started to get strange, though. My sister and I would wake up sometimes to hear a baby or a young child crying. This I remember clearly, as it was my first wholly lucid supernatural experience. Like a child, too young to remember much for myself other than my parents' tales, I was terrified by these large black boars with glowing red eyes. I would wake up and start screaming. My mom chalked it up to night terrors, but I was and still am convinced that these were demons, especially after my tween years of research and coming across an article about boars being a sign of demons. But this is a story for another time. The point is I have dealt with the supernatural before, even if I did not really remember it. Getting back on track, though, I had been lying awake when the crying began. I recall frowning, and then getting up to yell at my sister for playing with her baby doll so late at night. She shot up and looked at me with horror, and said that she was about to yell at me for the same thing. We casted a glance at my brother's room, but he was just a baby, and he had no baby dolls of his own. We ran into my parents' bedroom screaming about ghosts. Unfortunately for us, we interrupted them in a private moment, if you catch my drift. So they were extremely Sonic the Hedgehog quick about ushering us out of the room. They said something like, "Your grandma was planning on dropping by, you just heard the garage opening." Both of us knew that was garbage, because we knew the garage doors did not make that much noise, and that grandma was not stopping by at 12:30 at night. We both slept in the same room that night. Over the next few years, things kept on escalating. My parents' wedding rings would disappear, wall crosses would be rotating, my sister's friends would have a sleepover at her house while I was away and would say that they thought they could hear my voice and stuff like that. After years of dealing with it, we noticed a common theme: the basement. As cliche as that might sound, that's where the activity seemed to radiate from, along with my room and my parents' room. Missing objects would always end up in the basement. We always got the worst vibes from down there too, and my sister and I did not like being down there, especially alone. Eventually, we came to notice that the miniature version of our old house would have been put in the basement. The two of us speculated that it was kind of a beacon to the ghost due to its representation of a place where someone had been murdered. We assumed that it was drawing spirits. My sister wanted to burn the thing, but I protested, as I was pretty sure I read something on how burning an object that supernatural things are attached to will only unleash the things attached to it. But a roaring house fire eventually killed everything in the house. Unlike the activity that continues, though, perhaps with more force than before. Perhaps the murder in my former home and my supernatural experiences are just unconnected coincidences. Perhaps not. Either way, it is chilling to know that someone had been murdered in my old house, and I cannot help but wonder if they had seen any red-eyed black boar around the house before it happened. I worked as a car detailer at a dealership for a few years. The boss had a small truck towed in one day and asked me and another detailer to see if we could clean it out. We had taken care of some bad-smelling and filthy vehicles before, so we figured this was the same kind of deal. We were dead wrong. Before even opening the truck, we smelled it. Nasty, rotten thick air surrounded the truck. I asked my coworker if he ever smelled anything like it. He shook his head. I walked over and opened the door. The smell of something dead rushed out. It was overwhelmingly sickening. I went and talked to the boss about the unbearable smell. He was trying to get some money out of it. The guy who bought it died not long after purchasing the truck, so if possible, he wanted to get it back to selling condition. He said he wanted the seats gutted because he bought all new seating. I still informed him cleaning it was nearly impossible. The smell was making everyone sick. I pretty much said I need some type of breathing apparatus for myself and anyone brave enough to help me try to clean the vehicle out. So he bought us painting jumpsuits and full face mask. It did help a bit. If we did not have those items, it would not have been possible. The guy I worked with was a veteran detailer. He had many years of cleaning up and detailing cleaning vehicles under his belt. He told me he had never had a case like that truck. We began to take apart the car and bag the old seats in plastic bags. We shampooed the carpets and washed out the engine. We scrubbed and conditioned the vinyl of the dash and interior. It was looking way better. We attached the new seats and looked for anything else we could clean up to try to get that lingering smell out. My coworker sat in the driver's seat and contemplated buying the little truck. But we both forgot a major place to clean up. He reached down and turned the AC full blast. A bunch of little brown and black things flew at him. All over his face and chest, these things hit him. The smell was there again. We tried everything we could, but whatever happened in that truck was not able to be washed off. We got close, but when it would sit in the sun for any amount of time, the smell would always be back. We later found out what happened. Apparently, the guy died in the truck. They did not find him for a while. By the time they found him, he was swollen and split and was covered in maggots and flies. I guess since the weather was hot, it sped up the process of decomposition. Those things that flew with the AC were burnt and cooked maggots. An officer came by and filled us in. My coworker vomited. The smell of death is strong. It is ridiculously hard to get rid if you can at all. No matter how hard we cleaned, I am sure there would have been residue somewhere. But maybe the truck was never meant to be sold again. Maybe it was just a smell that is not possible to remove. But it was a horrible experience, and I am sure the officer had it much, much worse. So first off, I would like to say that this is 100% true. Now, weirdly, while this whole story involves me, I did not witness a thing. So, some pretext. I have been vacationing at private campgrounds my entire life. My family owns property in the Mohawk Trails not too far from Heath, Massachusetts. Absolutely beautiful land, historic property. Everywhere you go, you can see stone structures and property lines dating all the way back to the time of the Mohawk Indians. Like I said, I'd been camping here my entire life, and still do to this day. Nothing ever happened, paranormal at least, until this time. Go back for about 5 years. My brother still calls this my skinwalker story, although I'm not totally convinced. It is weird though. So 5 years ago, I, my brother, my two cousins, we were all camping for a weekend. It was very calm and peaceful. I was at the private lake fishing off the dock, not catching anything good. I caught a pickerel and tossed it in the woods, continued fishing, and then suddenly I hear, "Josh?" my name, come from the right side of the dock a good distance away. Now where the dock was, if I looked right, I could see an expanse of land that wraps around the lake. But there were trees and shrubs blocking my view of that path. That is where the voice was coming from. At least that's where I thought it was. I recognize it as my little brother, so I call back. "I'm on the dock." I see him around the corner, and he stares at me bewildered. He looks back in the woods and then back at me, so I asked him, "What's up? Were you just in the woods? Like, running through the woods?" He looked absolutely insane in his eyes. "No," I spoke. "How could I be there and be back here so quickly?" I replied. He looked back and then back at me again. "Dude, I just saw you there, but you were running that way." He points back in the direction he came from. "But I could not hear twigs snapping or leaves rustling. That's the weird part," he spoke. And mind you, back then I was around 290 pounds. I was a very big guy. I am now down to 210, and even now I am still pretty big. But that is besides the point. Now remember, how I said I threw a fish in the woods? I then realized I could no longer hear it flopping around. I threw it around 5 or so minutes prior, so I go to look for it. This thing was absolutely gone. I searched a whole 30-foot or so radius. It was just gone. There was no sign of animal life coming through and grabbing it. So, it was a very odd thing, and to this day, my bro tells the story to people. But then that same day, my mother comes up to me at our site and asks me, "Josh, did you go into the female shower room at the rec hall?" She was pretty upset. I said, "No, are you insane? Why would I go in there?" Apparently, she was trying to find an explanation because I found out a few days later she followed what she thought was me into the shower room, and this figure was nowhere to be seen. Lastly, something not really involving me. My two cousins were from different sides of the family, and they did not know each other all that well. So the last night we were there, my cousins, who we will call Carrie, wakes up in bed. The sun is beginning to rise. She turns over and sees my other cousin, Jose, sitting in a chair and listening to headphones, staring out the window. So she turns back over to try to fall asleep. She can't. She feels uncomfortable since they do not know each other, so she turns back and he is completely gone. Later, it turns out he had never left his bed and he was still asleep the entire time. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true scary horror stories sent in by viewers just like you in the month of January. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're listening on iTunes or another podcast platform, be sure to give me a 5-star rating as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and help the swamp expand its ever-growing waters? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a horror story from the woods or an unexplained encounter with the supernatural, I'd love to see what you have. Send your story in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium but still want to listen to your favorite scary stories from the swamp wherever you go, you can do so by downloading them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And as I said, it's absolutely free and always will be. If you guys would like to support the swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've got everything from face masks, to t-shirts, to hoodies, and just about anything else you could want. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.